Everybody else, would you take your Bible, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be hopping around a couple different passages this morning, but Philippians chapter 4 is where we will start. Philippians chapter 4. I want to look at the Apostle Paul and the peace that God gave him. Paul's peace. You know, Paul lived quite a life, and we will see in the pages of Scripture that in spite of the challenges on his journeys, God gave him peace. And it's not a peace that the world gives, as we read earlier, but it's a peace that only God can give. And so we're going to see that peace played out in Paul's life. We sang about it just a minute ago, a little bit about it, when we sang about the jailer and Paul and Silas thrown in jail. But yet, they were singing praises to the Lord. They had peace in their heart and even stayed in jail because they knew that God had everything under control. Well, we're going to see that played out in some other areas in Paul's life here this morning. Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 6 through 9. And then we'll pray and jump into several different passages, most of our time in Acts this morning. Philippians chapter 4, I'll read verse 6 down through verse 9. Be careful, or we could say anxious, for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Our Father, we need your help this morning as we look at these passages. We pray that you would have your way in our hearts and in our lives, that we would draw close to you, and that you would draw us by your Holy Spirit's power. Lord, we pray that you would receive glory in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It sounds like my microphone's doing something funny. Is it doing something funny? Maybe I'll just turn this one off, and we'll just leave this one on, and I'll just stay behind the pulpit here as best I can. Okay. Does it sound better right now? Is it a little bit better? Okay. All right. Anyway, let's see. Can you hear? Okay, good. All right. Well, if Adam has to play with it and turn it up and turn it down, I'll let him do that, and I'll just keep preaching from Philippians here. So we see the words of Paul. It is Paul the Apostle that has written the words that we just read there, where he says that there is peace. So you see it in verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we think about the Apostle Paul, we think about a man whose life was incredibly tumultuous. And this guy had problems, but somehow he was able to have peace in his life. And he knew what he was saying when he wrote these words, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds. He knew what that was because he experienced it. And you and I can experience that peace in our lives as well. And we are desperate for it. You look at the world today and you think, oh man, all this craziness in our society and in our world. And you just wonder how we're ever going to survive. How are we going to make it through? Let alone have peace and joy in our hearts when we do. But God offers peace. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote some other words when he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And so it is something that only God's Spirit can give. And so when we are yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, when we are walking in the Spirit of God and with the Spirit of God, then he gives supernatural peace that passes all understanding. And as Jesus said, it is not as the world gives. It's only a peace that he gives. And so we can have it no matter what is going on in your life. I don't know what trials you're going through. Maybe you're having a health issue and you're thinking, I don't know if we're going to survive. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this illness. And I don't know if I can manage this pain. It's just too difficult. I don't know if I can have peace in this. Maybe you have a financial difficulty this morning, and this burden is weighing you down, and in your mind and in your heart, you are just overwhelmed with anxiety, thinking, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. We're going to lose the car. We're going to lose the house. What is going to happen? Well, even if you do lose the car and the house, I'll tell you what, God can give you peace in the middle of it. You see, God's peace isn't a removal of the obstructions in your life. God's peace is his power and his presence in the middle of the obstructions in your life. That's what God's peace is. Nobody escapes the obstructions of life. Nobody escapes the difficulties of life. And if there's a preacher that stands up somewhere and tells you that if you just get saved and give 20 bucks, that God's going to make your life happy and rosy and chosy, then he's telling you a lie from the pit of hell. Nobody gets away with that. You see, God allows trials in our lives, but he gives us peace through those trials. And the Apostle Paul is a great example of it. I want to look at several passages in the book of Acts. So turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. This is towards the end of the Apostle Paul's life. Paul was a missionary. He was serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been through many trials and difficulties. He had been through three missionary journeys. And now, towards the end of his life, the Apostle Paul is so dependent on God's Spirit for peace, because the difficulties and the trials and imprisonments, they keep coming. But the Apostle Paul somehow has some safety and some peace in the midst of it all. I think you will find that, first of all, the Apostle Paul had peace because he had purpose. He had a purpose that was from God, and his purpose was giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 19, look with me at verse 21. Verse 21. The Apostle Paul has just finished a missionary journey. At the end of this journey, he had great difficulty because there was an uprising of people against his message. They didn't want to hear the truth of the gospel. And so here he is in Ephesus, and there is a riot taking place. Excuse me. And during this riot now, the apostle is thinking, What am I going to do now? I'm trying to preach the truth, and there's a riot. They're getting ready to destroy me, and I don't know, they're going to throw me in prison or whatever it is. But through all the difficulties, God says, you just keep at it. And so he keeps preaching the truth. And if you look at verse 20, it says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. In the midst of the difficulties, the ministry continued on. But now look at verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Paul saw God doing works, miraculous works, and he knew that he needed to keep going for Jesus. And there are times in your life when you think, I just have to stop and quit. It's just too much for me. I can't keep going. And in the midst of all the difficulty that Paul was having and the riots and the chaos, he made a decision, I'm going to keep going. And he had purpose in his heart. And as we look at this, the next couple of chapters, we're going to see chapters 21, 22, 23, 24, all the way to 27, is Paul's journey eventually to Rome. He was going to Rome through Jerusalem. He knew he had to go to Jerusalem first, and then he was going to make it to Rome, and that was the purpose that God had given to him, as he says it right here. In verse 21, he purposed in the Spirit. It wasn't his plan, but it was God's plan. There are some theologians that say, well, we think Paul made a mistake by going to Jerusalem. Well, those theologians aren't reading verse 21 very well, where it says that he purposed in the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God, God's Spirit, the Spirit. He purposed, and it was by the Holy Spirit, and we'll see other passages that point to this as well. God's plan was for him to go to Jerusalem and then to Rome. And so that purpose kept him going. When you quit in life, when you are tired and worn out and you feel like giving up, chances are you forgot your purpose. God has given you a purpose. And by the way, your purpose isn't just for a happy life. Your purpose is to bring pleasure to God. Your purpose as a Christian is to bring glory to God and to preach the gospel of God. Your purpose is a higher purpose than anything this world can ever give you. And if you keep that purpose in mind, then you'll keep going for Him. You'll keep pressing through, and God will give you the peace that you need in your heart and in your life. So here, Paul had this purpose that God had given to him. I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to Rome, and I'm going to preach the gospel on the way. Now, look at chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 now, is where I'm going to pick it up. Verse 22 in Acts chapter 20. this is the part where the Apostle Paul now has come back to Ephesus, or near Ephesus, and he has met with the elders of the church at Ephesus. And these elders and pastors had met with him, and he had developed a long relationship with them and trained them and preached the truth to them over an extended period of time. And now Paul comes back before he's going to Jerusalem and before he goes to Rome. Paul comes back to stop off here and talk with the Ephesian elders. And so you see it here in verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. You think, well, Paul, why in the world would you go if you don't know what's going to happen? It sounds like you're a little nervous about this. But he is telling these Ephesian pastors, I am bound in the Spirit to go. I must go. I don't know what's going to happen, but I must go. The Spirit is driving me to go. I must obey Him. When God has given you a purpose, quitting is not an option. And you determine, I must go. I must do what God wants me to do. Now, let me tell you, when you're preparing for vacation Bible school, there are times when you think to yourself, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, I think I'm done. I think I just want to quit. Somebody else can fill my position. Somebody else can fill the role that I have. Whatever it is, you know, I just don't think I can handle it. Or we're reluctant to make a commitment in the first place because we want to prepare for those overwhelming times so that we can quit if we need to. And I mean, it's just in the back of everybody's mind. It's just there. Anytime you embark on any kind of a ministry, you almost feel like, oh man, it's just too hard. I want to quit. But if your focus is on the gospel ministry that God has given to you, then you know I cannot quit. I don't know what's going to happen this week. I don't know what the kids are going to say or how overwhelming it's going to be or how I'm going to find supper on Tuesday or whatever. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I am bound in the Spirit. I must do this. And by God's grace and empowerment and with His peace, I will. You see, that's what Paul was saying, and that's what we ought to say as well. But look at what sustains Paul as he continues to talk to these Ephesian pastors. Verse 23. Well, let me again read verse 22. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save, or except, that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He says, the only thing I know that's going to happen to me there is that the Holy Spirit has testified through the witness of other Christians in every city that I've been going to lately that I'm going to suffer bonds and afflictions. That I know. And he still goes. He says, the only thing, I don't know what's going to happen, but the only thing I do know is that I will have bonds and afflictions. That is, imprisonments and difficulties. I will suffer those things. That I am assured of. And you might say, well, what kind of a life did Paul have? What kind of a life is that? Why would God send somebody and then tell him, oh, by the way, you're going to suffer. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have a rough road ahead of you. But go for me. What kind of a motive is that to go? I mean, how does that help anybody? But do you remember the words of Jesus when he said, in this world ye will have tribulation. You will. God didn't just tell that to Paul, but he told it to you as well. And you're a fool if you think it's not coming. Trials and tribulations are going to come in your life. And you know it. Be forewarned. Take the warning now. And know that God is well aware of it long before you ever knew it. And that he offers peace in the middle of that storm. The Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, he says in verse 23, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. That's what's coming. But look at verse 24. But none of these things move me. Wow. I'm not getting pushed off my purpose. I have a purpose. My purpose is to worship God and to witness for him, for Jesus Christ, and I will not be moved. I will not be pushed off my purpose by all of these things. None of these things, the afflictions, the trials, the bonds, they will not move me from my purpose. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. His purpose was to declare the counsel of God, the purposes of God, the grace of God, the gospel of God. That was his purpose, and nothing was going to move him from that. And he said, you know that, Ephesian pastors, you know that because you've seen it in my life already, and nothing's going to move me in the future. No matter what trials come to me in Jerusalem, doesn't matter. I'm moving on for Jesus Christ. I'm back on the road for Jesus, and I'm going to stay there. None of these things move me. Paul had peace and joy in his life because of the purpose of the gospel that was given to him. Now skip ahead to chapter 21. Chapter 21. Look with me at verse 10. Chapter 21 and verse 10. Paul is now on his way to Jerusalem. Hasn't made it to Jerusalem yet, but he's on his way there. Verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Wow. These were friends of Paul. They loved him dearly. And this prophet, Agabus, comes and he takes Paul's girdle, his belt, and he binds his own hands, his own feet, and he says, this is what's going to happen, Paul. The owner of this girdle is going to be bound like this, Paul. If you go to Jerusalem, you will be bound like this. And all of his friends gather around him and say, please don't do it. Please don't go through with this. It's too hard. It's not good for you. It's not good for your health. It's going to ruin your life. Please, Paul, don't do this. But even Paul's friends, even his Christian friends, even this prophet that was telling them the truth that would happen to Paul, all of those things coming at Paul, yet Paul said, no, I am bound in the Spirit. I must go. I will go. I have to go. And look what he says. What meaneth that ye weep and break my heart? You're breaking my heart by trying to pull me away from the purpose that God has given to me. You're breaking my heart. Wow. You know, there is affliction, there is difficulty and trials ahead of you. But to have such peace in your heart that you would say, don't break my heart by trying to get me to quit, even though I know it's going to be hard. Don't break my heart this way. Wow, this man had such a heart for the gospel, such a heart for God. And his purpose was driving him and giving him peace. But not only did the purpose of the gospel ministry give Paul peace, but the presence of the Savior gave him peace. Turn back to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, we see the presence of the Savior. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. When they had opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord unto Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Again, the apostle Paul is preaching the truth to the Jews, and they hate it. They hate it. They don't want him. But Paul goes to the Gentiles there and preaches the gospel to them, and some of the Gentiles get saved. And God says to Paul in the middle of the night, you keep it up. You keep going. Do not be afraid. Open your mouth and preach. Do not hold your peace. I've got a work for you to do, and you stick to it right there. Now, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you open the Word every day, you will hear His voice through the pages of Scripture, prodding you on and comforting you every single day through the difficulties and through the trials that you face. You will hear His voice saying to you, do not quit. I'm with you. I'm pushing you on, and I've got a job for you to do. Do not quit. And you will experience the divine peace of Almighty God through the presence of the Savior and the Spirit of Christ as you read the words of Scripture. Paul experienced the presence of the Savior, and he drew on that presence to experience the peace of God. Look now at Acts chapter 22. Skip ahead to Acts chapter 22. I'm going to start reading in verse number 4. Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. The Apostle Paul is giving his testimony now as he is on his way to Rome. And so he's giving his testimony. He says, And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering unto prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Paul's talking about the days before he was saved, and he's saying, boy, I used to persecute Christians. Verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and they were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go to Damascus, and there shall be told thee of the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one, and thou shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Wow. Paul, time and time again, rehearsed his testimony. You know what I think was so amazing about his testimony? What I think he appreciated about his testimony was that, as it says here, he saw the just one and heard his voice. The presence of Jesus was with Paul on the road to Damascus. And whenever Paul felt uncomfortable, and whenever he felt like it's just too hard, I can't go on, he would think back to the presence of Jesus. And he would remember that he saw the just one. And he would remember that he heard his voice. And he would be comforted with peace at the presence of the Savior. Oh, Paul loved to share that story. And he would time and time again. Look ahead at Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. The Apostle Paul is now being fought over at Jerusalem. In Jerusalem now, the Jews hate him, and there's Sadducees on one side, Pharisees on the other side. They're fighting over Paul, and he's going through a really difficult time. And his life is in jeopardy. Verse number 10, and when there arose great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. When Paul had his devotions that night, when he took that time to be alone with Jesus, Jesus appeared to him right there. And Jesus said to him, Paul, don't be afraid. Have peace. Be of good cheer. Paul, you've been a faithful witness for me, and I have plans for you. You're going to be a witness for me in Rome as well. Paul, you have held to that purpose that I gave you, that gospel witness, you've held to that purpose. And because you've held to that purpose, I am here with you right now. And I am telling you, you don't have to be afraid. You can keep going. The presence of Jesus himself sustained Paul through the difficulties. Friend, if you don't take time to meet with Jesus, you won't experience his presence and you won't have his peace. You say, I can't make it through anymore. It's just too hard. How much time have you spent with Jesus? He's talking to you. Are you listening? Are you spending time with him? Paul was nearly killed that day, but he met with Jesus, and Jesus said to him, don't be afraid. I've got plans for you, Paul. Look at verse 12. When it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. I won't read the rest of the passage, but 40 guys make the decision, we're going to kill him. We're going to destroy him. And in fact, we're so serious about this, we will not eat until we do. They were serious. They were going to kill Paul. But you know what? God had a plan. Paul's nephew, a young man, we don't know how old he is, but a young guy, Paul's nephew, hears about this conspiracy. He goes to where Paul is in the barracks, in the castle, and he says to Paul, Uncle Paul, I just heard something bad. And here's what's going to happen. These guys are going to try to kill you. And so he exposes the conspiracy. Paul says, go tell the captain what you just told me. And sure enough, this little guy goes over and he tells him what they're going to do to Uncle Paul. And so the captain says, wait a minute, we're not going to have this happen. And so the captain raises an army of over, let's see, about 470 people, if I count it right. An army to escort Paul from the barracks to the place where he was going to be tried. It's incredible what God did. You see, God knew he was going to do that. God knew exactly what was going to happen. And that's why the night before, God said to Paul, don't be afraid. I've got it all taken care of. And he sure did. And if you don't meet with Jesus on a daily basis, he won't have the opportunity to tell you, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I know you're going to be okay. You got to meet with him. And you got to let his presence give you peace. In Acts chapter 26, we see something similar as well. Acts chapter 26, find that. And in verse 12, Paul again rehearses his own testimony. And now he's telling the king, King Agrippa, his testimony. And you could read down through there, and he rehearses the presence of Jesus in his life. And he talks all about it. It's 12 o'clock. I'm gonna let you take time to read that on your own. But let me move ahead for time's sake to chapter 27. I apologize for rushing, but let me look at chapter 27 now. And we're going to wrap it up here with 27, a couple of verses here. Once again, the Apostle Paul's life is in danger. And in verse number 9, we see now that Paul is going to be sailing to Rome. He's going to be sailing to Rome. His final destination, remember that purpose that God had given to him, that he was holding to. And so he knew he was going to make it. And so verse 9, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said to them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not more commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence. Also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. So the Apostle Paul says, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. We shouldn't do this. Well, they ignored Paul and his instructions. And so it continues, verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And not long after, there arose against a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and they could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And the running under the certain island, which is called Claudia, and we had much work to come by the boat. And when we had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand and strake sail, and so were driven. You get the idea. They're going through some real problems on the sea here. Verse 18, we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands a tackling of the ship. And when neither the sun nor stars and many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They were in a hopeless situation. But Paul remembered the words of God. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Paul knew they shouldn't have gone. But everybody went anyway. It was out of his control. But you know what? Even though it was out of his control, in the middle of the storm, God met with Paul. The presence of the Savior in the middle of the storm was with Paul. And then Paul could draw on that peace and share it with everybody else on the boat and say, oh, don't worry. God is with us. I saw Jesus last night. I met with Jesus, and he told me it's going to be okay. Friend, one of the first things we do when we feel like life is falling apart and it's out of our control and other people are making decisions that are ruining our lives, we say, it's not fair, it's not right, I'm giving up, and we walk away from the church, we walk away from the fellowship of the saints, and we say, you know what, if God's going to be this way, then he can just shove it. And we act that way towards God. But boy, if we would only that night pick up our Bible and read from Scripture and meet with Jesus, and he would say, I know this storm. In fact, I've named this storm. And you're going to be okay. I'm going to help you through. Stop running away from him and start running to him and meet with Jesus. And through the presence of the Savior, you will have a peace that passes all understanding. And you will make it through. Only he can give you that peace. And so you'll only find it at his hand. The Apostle Paul drew on that peace. And towards the end of this chapter, we see Paul, as he continues on, he goes through some incredible difficulties. And the ship is shipwrecked, and it's overturned, and they swim to shore, and their lives are saved just as God said. Nobody died that day. Some of them swam to shore just with a part of the ship holding on to a board or something that floated, and they swam to the shore and found when they got there they were all okay, just as God said it. And you might go through the difficulties, and you might have to swim, and you might think to yourself, I don't know if I'm going to make it, but you will find at the other end, when you make it to the shore, that God's promises were true and that his peace was real. And so they made it to the other end. And in chapter 28, then it continues. And then Paul, just after he survives a shipwreck, he's building a fire. They're trying to get warm on the shore. And as he's building a fire, he carries some wood, throws the wood in the fire. And what should happen? The snake comes out of this log pile and bites onto his hand. And it says he's holding his, and he shakes it off of his hand, a snake. God, what are you doing? You know, I just made it through the storm, and now you give me a snake. But God healed him. God protected him, and he continued on because Paul was holding to his purpose. He knew God's giving me a purpose. I'm to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God told me I'm going all the way to Rome, and this snake isn't going to stop me. And Paul had peace in his heart. and he continued on. And we find Paul at the end of chapter 28. He's now sitting in Rome. And God has given him that purpose of preaching the gospel and has fulfilled that promise that he gave to him. Chapter 28, look at verse 23. When they had appointed him a day, that is to meet and be tried before Caesar, there came many to him into his lodging. He was in house arrest now. To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Here's Paul sitting in house arrest. And Paul's thinking, it's out of my control, God. You told me to come to Rome. I'm here in Rome. You told me to preach the gospel, and I want to preach the gospel, but I'm kind of stuck here. So what did God do? He sent the people to him. And so people started coming to Paul's house, and they came to him. He couldn't leave the house, but they could come to him. And they came to him, and it says, from morning till evening, Paul was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Wow. Paul didn't know how it was going to work out, but God did. Paul went through trials and difficulties, and his life was up and down, and he faced so many problems and persecutions, but through it all, he had the peace of God. And in 2 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul rehearses some of those things that he went through. And he talks about the difficulties and the trials. And in chapter 12, he talks about those trials. But I want to look here at verse 7 of chapter 12. Where he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Not only was he persecuted, not only was he tried and imprisoned and beaten and stoned, left for dead, but then he had a health problem. He had a health problem. He couldn't get away from the health problem. And the devil was using a health problem to try to tell Paul, stop, quit, give up, give in. You can't do it. And so Paul begged God to deliver him from the health problem. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This guy knew all about it. He experienced it and he lived it. He experienced the peace of God because first, he held to the purpose of God for his life. And secondly, he enjoyed the presence of the Savior. Is that where you're at this morning? Say, I need the peace. Well, what's the purpose for your life? Are you holding to God's purpose? You say, I need that peace. I just don't feel it. Are you spending time with the Savior? Are you experiencing the presence of Jesus himself? Well, he's waiting for you. He's longing for some time with you. Take some time to be with him, and you will draw on his presence and find a peace that passes all understanding. It's for you today, and it's for you for every day of your life. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek after peace. The peace not that the world gives, but the peace that only you can give. Lord, we long for it. We need it. We are desperate for it. And I pray for those believers that are here this morning that are really struggling in their lives. And they're going through things and they're wondering how they're going to make it through. And Lord, I pray that they would take the example of Paul and they would seek after the presence of Jesus and that they would hold to the purpose that you give to them. And Lord, I pray for that person this morning that's not even saved and they're thinking, there's no way. This is all just a crutch through life. I don't even know if this is real. God, show yourself to them this morning and help them to see that the peace that they long for and are always missing out on is available only through Jesus Christ. And may they find that peace at your feet. Lord, help us to find it with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.